Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, we considered those who do not value the truth of God by reviewing the phrase, not casting pearls before swine. A fair question to consider is, what happens to those who do not value the truth of God? Today, we will review what the Bible indicates, and we can use that to guide our interactions with all who do not value the truth of God. We'll start our review by looking at an account of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He had just crossed the water and was greeted by a crowd of people. Today, when we think of a person arriving at a location only to be greeted by a huge crowd, we think of famous people like politicians and celebrities. Typically, when today the crowd of people shows up, they know they are going there to see a politician, celebrity, or a famous person. They tend to know something about the person they will see. With politicians, people tend to know the political philosophies, and with celebrities, people know about the music, movies, and television shows. For example, when people go to see a politician, it's about the politics, not what the politician does in his or her spare time in the garden over the weekend. Similarly, when people go to see a celebrity, it's about the music, movies, and television shows, not the celebrity's hobby that they privately do at their house. Getting back to Jesus, he had just arrived on the shore and this crowd gathered around him. And why did the people gather around? Jesus told them they were interested in him, not because of the message, but because of the free food. In the mind of the people, while Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, the people saw Jesus as a source of free food. They also knew Jesus performed miracles like healing the sick, but the only miracle that mattered to them was the free food. They got to eat for free and didn't have to do much for the food. John 6, verse 25. Then, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. When Jesus challenged why they were there, the crowd asked what they could do to do what God expected of them. Jesus told them they needed to believe him. And instead of believing, they wanted proof and asked for a sign reminding Jesus that God had fed the people of Israel manna while they were wandering in the desert. Jesus then explained the difference between the manna, which would only be good for physical life, and the bread from heaven that Jesus had that would be good for eternal life. Verse 28. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews who were there didn't value the truth of God. They had just been given and murmured at Jesus because he said he was the bread which came down from heaven. In their eyes, Jesus was born the son of Joseph, born of a human mother. They saw no connection between Jesus and heaven and rejected what he was teaching. Jesus told the Jews not to murmur amongst themselves and told them no person can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. What Jesus was teaching the Jews who rejected him was that no person can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. This becomes our first clue as to why some people do not value the truth of God. Some people do not value the truth of God because God has not yet brought them to Jesus Christ. In Old Testament times, the truth of God was centered around the Old Testament faith, and with Jesus, we now have this opportunity for eternal life that transcends what was available to the people of ancient Israel. Even though Jesus taught that no person could come to him unless the Father draws him, he also taught that no person comes to the Father except by Jesus. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus showed a circular connection between the Father and him. No person could come to Jesus unless the Father would draw him, and that person would have no pathway to the Father without Jesus. Somehow, this truth is overlooked or downplayed by too many people. If people do not value the truth of the connection between the Father and Jesus Christ in our calling and salvation, others do not value the truth of the return of Jesus. Even during the time of Paul, he warned of people who were falsely claiming that the return of Jesus was imminent. When a situation of urgency is created, it is much easier to call to action. And likely these false teachers were incorrectly using the return of Christ to get people to do whatever the false teachers wanted. Much like the phishing email scams of today, which use some elements of truth, like falsely using a company logo to swindle people out of money. Paul was warning the Thessalonians that there were those who would try to deceive them and reminded them of the man of sin to be revealed who opposes and exalts himself above God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul also warned that those who do not value the truth would use philosophy and deceit instead of being deceived by those who do not value the truth. We are told to allow no person to judge us for what we believe. That means when others have negative things to say about our faith, we ignore what they have to say. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Those who do not value the truth of God can find themselves worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Instead of honoring God as creator of all, they reduce God to something that was created, giving God the feel and appearance of a person or animal. Paul shows lack of gratitude as the cause, and also shows how that lack of gratitude is paraded as intelligence and wisdom. That lack of gratitude, worshiping the creation instead of the Creator, leads to animalistic lusts and changing the truth into a lie, where the creation is worshipped and served more than the Creator. If the creation is worshipped and served more than the Creator, it shows, for whatever reason, these people still acknowledge God. but not in the way they should. Paul then lists results that align with what is seen around this world, showing how this world does not value the truth of God. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. He warned the church at Corinth about people who seek events that they can use to make themselves look good, especially when those same people link everything to faith. Paul told them, there are those who seek opportunities that will make themselves look good instead of just doing good, because that is what is expected of us. It's sort of like a media or political personality that first looks for the photo opportunity. And once that is secured, do they consider what needs to be done? He explained that spiritually, these types of people are false apostles who use deceit to appear spiritual like the apostles, much like Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Spiritual deceit was around long before the time of Jesus and Paul. Jeremiah wrote of deceit that tried to link the deceit to the temple. He warned that unless the people changed their ways so that those in need, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow would not be oppressed, that they would be cast out of God's sight. Jeremiah also told the people that they could not worship false gods and sin. Jeremiah was conveying that valuing the truth of God required action on the part of the people, and that action had to align to what God expected, not what the people allowed themselves to do. Jeremiah 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Mend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. When you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground. And it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. The words of Jeremiah were spoken to the kingdom of Judah of the ancient nation of Israel, a nation that was claimed by God to be his people, and yet a nation that rejected him in favor of the gods of the nations around them. They rejected God and oppressed the disadvantaged, quickly forgetting that they had been oppressed in Egypt. Ancient Israel was split into two kingdoms. First, the kingdom of Israel went into captivity, and then the kingdom of Judah. The modern nation of Israel was founded after the Second World War, a gap of about 2,600 years. Do we live in a world that oppresses the disadvantaged? Do we oppress the disadvantaged? Do we live in a world that has forgotten God? Have we forgotten God? Jesus never intended for the church to live apart from the world. He specifically prayed to God that we be not taken from the world, but be kept from evil. When we see oppression in the world, We cannot partake of it. When we see this world forgetting about God, we cannot forget about God. We need to be living our life seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, meaning how we live our life should be like an embassy of the kingdom of God with each of us as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We cannot force change on this world, but we cannot allow this world to force change on us. When others interact with us, it should be like they are interacting with somebody from the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean they will be interacting with somebody who presents as spiritually superior, but who interacts with others through love, showing love to God by doing what God expects, and by showing love to other people through the final six commandments. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We value the truth of God, and we live in a world that does not value the truth of God. What will happen to those who do not value the truth of God? Remember, only those who the Father draws can come to Jesus, and no one can come to God the Father unless Jesus is in their life. Ultimately, when all is said and done, and all of the resurrections have passed, those who do not value the truth of God will cease to exist. We can read of the many plagues of the book of Revelation, where we are told that the world has been spiritually deceived by what is described as Babylon the Great. We are told that this Babylon the Great will spectacularly fall. And when it falls, that is the time when God urgently implores his people to come out of her. Babylon the Great is a system that has persecuted those who value the truth of God. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her, and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth the merchandise any more. the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine and wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors of ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We can also read that after the fall of Babylon the Great, that the two evil people of the end time, the beast and the false prophet, are tossed into a burning lake of fire, and their influence over the earth will be finished. Ironically, too many people today think there will be the Antichrist in the end time, even though the Bible is very clear there will be the beast and the false prophet. Those who value the truth of God will note there are two prominent evil persons in the end time and not just one Antichrist. The beast and false prophet deceive those who receive the mark of the beast. And from passages we won't look at today, those who value the truth of God do not take the mark of the beast, nor do they worship the beast and false prophet. Both of these evil persons will be acting with the spirit of Antichrist that is described in the first book of John. But when you hear the term, the Antichrist, remember the Bible speaks of the beast and false prophet. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Those who are drawn by the Father, who come to Jesus, who through Jesus value the truth of God, those who are the called and chosen will be part of the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Where there is a first resurrection by logic, there must be additional resurrections. And the Bible shows us 2 additional resurrections. And the first should be comforting to those of us who have known people who have died outside of the faith. We are given a vision of the great white throne where the dead, the famous and not so famous, stand before God and are judged. There are verses that suggest a period of time of 100 years for these people to have their name written in the book of life, showing that they value the truth of God. Those who after the 100-year period do not have their name written in the book of life will also be tossed into a burning lake of fire. Death and hell immediately follow these people who ultimately do not value the truth of God, even when called at this future time and reject God. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God has no desire for people to suffer, and sin causes so much of the suffering we see. There is suffering that comes from the physical nature of the human condition. We all age, and some of us get very sick with various diseases and conditions. One day, there will be no suffering caused by sin, and there will be no suffering caused just because we are a physical human being. Those who value the truth of God will be part of this future time. And as we just read, even if a person does not yet value the truth of God, unless they have somehow committed the unpardonable sin, they will be given the opportunity to value the truth of God at the second resurrection. They will have their opportunity then to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. For the church of God, that time is now. After there is no more death, and all who live value the truth of God and have changed a spirit, the world will be different than it is today. The world to come will be a world where God lives with his people, all who live. The world to come will be a world where there will be no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. There will be no evil, nor will there be any oppression. Those who overcome will be part of the world to come, but those who reject the truth of God, who do not value the truth of God, will no longer be alive. Revelation 21, verse 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what can we be doing now to be part of this future world to come? Simply put, we need to be so doing. We need to be doing what God expects of us. We need to live our life valuing the truth of God and living our life as if we are ambassadors for Christ. When people interact with us, it should feel for them like they are interacting with the embassy of the kingdom of God. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can take comfort knowing that as long as we value the truth of God, as long as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we can be confident that God will not abandon us. He will continue to work with us until Jesus Christ returns and our salvation is assured. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, y'all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. And thus I pray, that your love may abound, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that he may be sincere and with offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We can take comfort knowing that we will never be abandoned in the faith. We can also take comfort knowing that for all who have ever lived, who have not been drawn by God to Jesus Christ, and who do not presently value the truth of God, will at the second resurrection, be given their opportunity to value the truth of God and to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. If they take advantage of their time of salvation, they will also be given eternal life. Knowing there is this hope, not only for us, but also for all who are not given the truth at this time, should give us all comfort and peace and the opportunity for us to have compassion. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.